Welcome to another episode of Over Asked. Today we have Long Beach real estate extraordinaire, ex-professional skateboarder, and a lot of other things, but I think people mostly know you from the male model on the Broke Agent Store. Mr. Ben Fisher is on the program.
Don't forget the co-host, listing agent number two of the Broke News Network.
Of the Broke News Network, yes, of course.
Thanks, Ben Fisher. Thanks for having me. I know it's, I'm known for a few smaller things, but mainly for being on Eric's landing page for t-shirts.
Exactly.
Hey, I must say that's a fantastic picture of you. Just fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. That was shot right behind the cast of the studios of BNN, actually.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Eric, yeah.
So that you got a great symmetrical face going on there.
You do.
Good hair flow.
Thank you.
You got a nice head that pops out of shirts. You know, my eyes are kind of lopsided. I have one eyebrow above the other.
Yeah.
So I'm not really a good model for the shirt.
No. Yeah. So
anyway, I was going
to
go into that.
I have to ask that the incredible tan that you have at all times, is that real or is that superficial?
It's real. Wow. It is real. It's actually, it's genetic, I believe. I just got blessed with this. So I walked into that, from birth. I've always been a little bit darker, I guess. I don't know.
You walked out of your mom's uterus into a tan.
I was this color when I came out, you know.
That's so sweet, man. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into it here. He's tall, dark, and handsome. We all know that. He's got a fantastic mustache going on right now. But Ben, you're doing some pretty great things in the real estate world. So for people who don't know you, can you just kind of give your elevator pitch? Who's Ben Fisher? And what do you do?
Yeah, so we have I have a real estate team and brokerage here in Long Beach. There's five agents that we work with that are under me, and we have a broker of record who is not me. But we really focus a lot heavily on just promoting and putting on other people and kind of getting people to understand and learn a lot about the city as well, and making sure we make some good connections along the way. So that's kind of through the past few years, we've kind of developed our niche of just really collaborating a lot and doing a lot of things kind of fun, like trying to have a good time while also helping other people out, other businesses out. And so along the way, you build a lot of things, and it's been really cool. It's been really fun. So
how long have you been in the business, and when would you say you started kind of finding your lane and taking off?
So I've been in real estate now about 9 years, I think. And I think I really started finding my niche maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And I worked on a few teams prior to doing my own thing, and it just wasn't really what I wanted to do. Wasn't the directions that I wanted to take it. So I just kind of branched off and did my own kind of thing. It's like, you know how that is, Matt, like it takes a second to kind of find like what angle, like what avenue you're going to go down.
Yeah.
You know, but
I know how it is too, for the record, but yeah.
Right. I'm talking to Matt. But anyway, it just kind of developed organically over time, where I was doing these edits called like these local small business edits. I'd do like one a month where I'd split the cost with the small business to make the video for them and then co-brand the end, and then we would blast it out. And so that kind of led into a number of other projects that we kind of went down that same rabbit hole of collaboration. And over time, that kind of led to a lot of relationships and business, and you know, all the while doing the basic fundamentals of lead generating, which is, I don't know if we could talk about that yet, Eric, but there's open houses was kind of my main thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Before we get into the lead gen, you were a professional skateboarder,
which yes,
with Matt and I are both very interested in. And, you know, I've seen footage of your kickflips and stuff from Joey. So, you know, we know it's true. But so how did it go from becoming a professional skateboarder? What happened with that? And then deciding to get your real estate license?
Yeah, it was kind of like you kind of start to, you know, that ship starts to sail. And it's like it's a big blow to the ego when you realize like it's not going to last and you're not really that cool anymore. Like kind of the end of that road, you know, like it really hits you. And you're like, you got to have that kind of, I called it a quarter life crisis. So, you know, I really had to reinvent myself and redevelop myself because I was branded as a skateboarder. Like that's who I was to the core. Like I was just a skateboarder. And without that, like I was kind of nothing, you know, which sounds kind of weird, but it's like all pro athletes have to kind of reinvent themselves once the career's over. So that's kind of what it was. And so I got lucky, and one of my sponsors at the time when I was like kind of phasing out of skateboarding, he was sharing an office space with my first mentor, who was just lead generating and cold calling in this office, like by himself all day. And I was like, what is this guy doing? And so, yeah, I was like tripping out. He was like balling, and he had all this stuff, and he was cool, and he was young. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know? Mm-hmm. So I just kind of started following him around. He's like, if you get your life.
You just started tailing him?
Like, pretty much.
Okay. Yeah, on your skateboard?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly how that happened. So I was, I started following him around, and he just kind of became his right-hand man. And then he taught me how to lead generate. And come to find out, he actually used to sell the scripts to the agents for Tom Ferry.
Oh, wow.
So he was like a really top producing, what are they called? Like, I forgot the name of them.
Inside sales associate?
He was like not an inside sales associate, but he would go to like conferences and things like that. But he would teach people like ELPs? NLPs, sorry. So a lot of like the NLPs and mirroring and matching and repeat and approve and like tonality and all these things and tricks and tips to maximize lead generating through cold calls. So I learned all of that really early on, and I would have to call, I think, 50 or 100 people a day. And then we would door knock after that. So it was wild. So that was my introduction to real estate. And all the while, like not really doing any deals or not taught the fundamentals of like how a transaction works, just trying to lead gen for him. And so it was kind of a cool avenue to get into it. But after a while, it didn't really make sense to stick around because I wasn't learning past that. So, you know, it was kind of like a soft transition out of skateboarding into real estate. And then from there, I joined some other teams. And, you know, one thing leads to another. And they kind of brought me down that path. So
did you enjoy the cold calling and door knocking aspect? Because when I first started, it was the same exact thing where I wasn't learning the actual like ins and outs of a transaction. My only goal was to book appointments for my boss, basically. Right. So were you actually like sitting open houses or going to inspections, or is it all lead gen?
I mean, a lot of it was going to just door to door and then literally lead gen. And then I would shadow on the appointments when we would take people out to see things, or shadow on listing appointments that I booked. And it wasn't bad. I didn't know any better. So looking back, I don't want to do it anymore. But at the time it was a super valuable pivotal moment to learn how to speak to people, and that was my introduction to the whole thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of pieces that I took from that I still implement now, which is super cool. But looking back, it was much needed for sure.
Yeah.
Do you like sponsor any skateboard events now, or like are you in kind of the, do you mesh that at all? Like,
you know, I don't. I mean, there's a group of guys that I grew up skating around and with that are like world pro skaters that kind of rolled into real estate as well. They're on a different program. And I didn't go down that avenue. I kind of got jaded by the whole industry. A lot of that, it's a lot of, you know, backstabbing and stabbing and not a lot of loyalty. So not really where I wanted to end up. And a lot of the people, there's some good relationships that I still have from that. But for the most part, I'm good. You know, I don't. On to the next.
Yeah.
Were you cool in high school, Ben?
Looks like he was.
Yeah.
I was on surf team, actually. So I think surf we, team. Yeah, I was Jesus. More like, we were just like drinking 40s at lunch, you know, and like smoking weed.
Okay. That's well, cool. You're from Long Beach, right? I was telling you before this, Long Beach, I think of you. I think of skateboarding, surfing, smoking weed, and listening to Sublime.
Yeah. You're not far off the mark. That's pretty close. Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty much what you can expect from Long Beach. Like to a degree, that's not.
So if people are moving there, that's your pitch?
That's right. That's all actually right. What I meant to say when we first started this. I was supposed to tell you guys, you know, hit me up if you want to chill with Snoop Dogg and smoke a blunt, because the Sublime is bumping.
I also can't get over how it looks like the floor is on your head right now. It looks like he's hanging like a bat.
Yeah, I actually got lucky. So this office space was a past client that moved out of state, and then they did this whole office for their boutique, like women's clothing store. So they left me, like they did the recess, like the recycled wood ceilings and like all the recessed lighting and concrete floors. They repolished for me. They put in AC. They left me a fridge. Like they're just like, you can just have it. Thanks for selling the house. So I was like,
jeez,
yeah,
that's great.
That's so incredible.
So, and I'm on like the main block in Long Beach in Naples, which is like the island, and kind of like the place to be over here. So we have a storefront on the street. I mean, I could show you like.
Do you get walk-ins?
No, actually, I've had a few, believe it or not. I've had Airbnb walk-ins, people that are like, hey, I think we want to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
so cool. People that are visiting Long Beach that yeah. want to buy a house there.
Yeah, they're like, hey, you do real estate. Like, because they see in the window, there's all these like listings we have and stuff. So they'll be like, hey, we walk by every morning getting coffee. Can you help us find something? I think we want a vacation house here. So that's pretty common.
What is LA, I guess is a question for both of you. Is it one of the most... Like, do a lot of people, I guess a lot of people move there more than a lot of other places in the world. Like, I would think like New York, LA, and then like, you know, I don't know, wherever, Dubai, stuff like that. My geography is a
little.
Pull
the city out of your ass there.
He's
like Dublin. No, but,
Singapore,
but,
Bangladesh.
But do you know, do you get a lot of people from all over the country, say, just kind of that come out? Like, are a lot of your clients from not originally from the area?
You know what, you get a lot of transplants because Long Beach is kind of this hidden gem. A lot of things in LA are so expensive and you can't really be by the coast for the price you can be by the coast in Long Beach. So it's kind of like, if you know, you know. Not many people really think of Long Beach as part of LA because we're the farthest south city. So Orange County starts where Long Beach ends, which is kind of like, they call it the orange curtain. So people don't cross the orange curtain. Either you're an Orange County person or you're an LA person. So we're kind of on the outskirts of the main like drag of being in LA. Wouldn't you say, Eric? It's pretty accurate.
Yeah, like, very accurate.
Like no one from LA thinks of Long Beach as LA.
No.
Like it's not.
No, in fact,
is it because it's nicer or not as nice?
No,
because
people in LA don't want to be associated with Long Beach. Oh. I feel like if you said you live in Long Beach, but you're in LA.
It's not a thing. Like Long Beach isn't a thing. Like it's an outskirts city, but it's on the coast, which is funny because it's a super nice area. It's on the water. You could buy a house here on the water for about a third of the price as Malibu. So so it's pretty wild. Like, you know, $20 million homes in Malibu, that it doesn't exist. Like the highest price homes here are like 7 or 8 million.
So I'm going to get back into, so your journey as a real estate agent. So after 4 or 5 years, you know, doing the lead gen thing and being on that team, did you branch off onto your own? Did you join another team? Like when did it start picking up for you? And what did you start doing besides cold calling and door knocking? You set a lot of open houses, right?
Yeah, well, that was actually later on, believe it or not. Okay. So it started out with cold calling and door knocking. And that was all, when I was doing that, it was in really high price point areas of Orange County. So our office was in Fashion Island and I would cold call areas for like Emerald Bay, which homes start at like $6 million. Like I was cold calling those guys. And so I was trying to get leads and deals that were like $6 to $10 to $15 million. Like that was what I was calling for. And so it kind of set the bar super high. So it didn't really scare me to talk to a lot of the luxury people when I would be back like in Long Beach. So that's where I started. And then I left that team to learn the fundamentals because I didn't understand pretty much anything about a transaction while I was there. So when I joined this next team, it was strictly to kind of learn the basics and the procedures. Like how do you do a deal? How do you negotiate inspection contingency repairs? Like all these things. And but the flip side of that was it wasn't as generous financially. So like, and then the leads they would give me, they were feeding me leads, but at the time they were like $250,000 buyers.
Oh God.
And so I was like, literally paying more money.
You do like 50 of those.
Yeah, yeah. It was like I was paying, and then I was paying out like 60% of my check or something crazy. So I was like,
to your team?
Yeah. Jesus. So I was like, I was breaking even after like a whole deal.
Just losing money on a deal.
Yeah.
It's like, the worst. It's the worst real estate transaction of all time.
It was terrible, dude. It was terrible, but it was great because I learned so much about a deal and my team leader, you know, and I don't want to knock him because Scott Cotto, if you're listening, he was great.
Fuck
he
him.
Super, super helpful.
Yeah. Scott, so. Fuck you. No, yeah. We're joking. We like you, Scott. Good on you. Fuck I'm sure you, he's, Scott. I'm sure he's not listening.
but he might see this as listening. Okay. But,
all right. Well, we apologize, Scott.
No, it's okay. It's okay. He's a cool dude. But anyway, so I got that. I learned the fundamentals after I learned the lead gen part. And then after that, I was like, this can't fly. Like, I can't afford it. So I bailed that. And then I just started doing my own thing. And I took off from that team. And I spent, I think, my last of my life savings on open house signs at the time because I was poor. Like, I had no money.
Would you have $30 left? I mean, how much are open house signs?
I think, well, because I bought them all from the board in the A-frames, you know, those like ones that you set up, like those metal A-frames, like they're not.
Oh, those are the worst. The metal ones are
Yeah, they're not cheap though. They're like $15 each, $20 each. So I bought like 20 of those, and I bought like 30 signs that from the board that just literally say like open house on like a yeah. shitty
store. No branding or anything. Those things are sad and pitiful. I hate seeing those. They make me want to
be so sad. I couldn't afford my own signs yet. So anyways, like skateboarding, rewind a minute, because skateboarding doesn't pay shit. So I had no money. Mm-hmm. So I was working at a restaurant, and then I started doing this too. And so then I spent my savings on open house signs. And I literally, the first year I did everything on my own, I think I held like 72 open houses in a year. Because I was like, fuck
in
this.
A day?
There. Yeah, 72 a day.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, 72 open houses.
It's incredible.
In year. And that was, I remember the first deal I did was because they told me, they're like, well, you had it. They, to this day, they're still friends of mine. They said, well, we hired you because you had a shitty car and we thought you'd work hard. And I was like, yeah, actually it happened. And so then those are my first clients, and I got my first real check, and I was like, okay, there's something to this. And it was like, it wasn't really about the money. It was just like following through the whole process, like actually helping somebody. It was crazy that I got paid for it. And they even brewed me beer like at close. So like I made a bunch of money. I helped them out and I got a bunch of free beer. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, this is crazy.
Sounds incredible.
Yeah. So then that first deal, I think I did nine deals from open houses by myself on my own. What? Like that was my first thing.
It's more than I've done in my entire career.
And so, so I did nine deals the first year just from open houses. And I think the next year I went to 11 or 12 from open houses.
And what was your average price on those deals, would you say?
You know, so at that point it was about $650, I think.
So still solid. That's solid.
Yeah. The first deal I did, I think, was $725. And I was like, nice. I was by myself, and a check for 2.5% of 725 isn't a bad day. Even with an office split, it was still good.
So yeah, like 500, yeah, 14,000.
Yeah, I was like,
what the fuck was that? Fucking Rain Man in here.
I was just doing open houses like nonstop, but I used everything that I learned from the first mentor that I had at the open houses. And so it really helped build the business. And I kept stats of all the open houses, all the names, all the people, all the conversions too, which was huge, which people need to know, because if you're going to do X amount of open houses and you're averaging X amount of people through, and you get X amount of leads and you convert this many out of that, you can break it down to a science where you really know how many people I have through the door to put a deal together.
Right.
And so that's the point I got to, because a couple of years in, I was like 300-400 contacts deep from open houses alone. And I could tell you that every 22 people that I met was one deal. So cool. that was cool. So like it broke down to a science after a while. And that was because I had coaches from my office too, that were kind of guiding me after all that. So it was just head down, just working and working and working. And then that just kind of steamrolled itself into this. Now where we have this office and a team and all these things, but it all just really started from just putting my head down and just like, couldn't turn back. I burned the ships. I spent my savings money. So
yeah. So how are you sitting these open houses? Like, so they weren't your listings off the bat, were they?
No. So at the time the market wasn't as crazy. This is like 2013. So it's like around that time, it wasn't as wild as it is now. I'm like, things were coming back, but it was still a little skeptical, you know? Mm-hmm. So things would still be sitting. So agents would have listings for 60 days that just no one gave a fuck about anymore. And I'd be like, hey, do you mind if I hold it open Tuesday through Friday? Like, I didn't even want weekends. And yeah, they're like, dude,
you went to party on the weekends.
Yeah, right. Well, they wouldn't give me the good days. I'd be like, whatever, give me Tuesday, Monday through Thursday. I don't care. And I'd be there every day. And, you know, you maybe meet 5-6 people, but over the years it compounds. And then those people, you know, remember you from the last one and the one from 2 years ago. And it turns into this whole thing, but it's just consistency.
So what are you doing to be so successful in these open houses? And how long does it take to actually convert to a deal?
That's a good question. Those are good questions. Well, first off, it depends off of what you have to know. Like going into the conversation, you really need to know your basics about, like, first off, where you are, what you're doing, and make people feel like you have value. Because that was another downside, is like, I look like I was 15 years old, and here's this kid with like this shitty car, like dressed in like skateboarder clothes, trying to look like I was professional.
Fucking Tony Hawk's in the open house.
Pretty much, just trying so hard to be an adult, and I wasn't yet. Yeah, so
same.
So it really just comes down to asking the right questions to find out more about what they're looking for, and a lot of open-ended questions where you don't get yes or no answers. you know, and so from there you can really feed off of that, and then you just do the follow-up. It's all in the follow-up too.
Yeah,
because it's just touches, right? Like every time you talk to people, you have to make sure there's a next something. So it would always be like, cool, yeah, that's cool, I'll send you a few, let's go see someone Thursday or Saturday, which is better. And so then from there they could be like, oh, actually Saturdays are cool for us, all right, rad, I'll schedule a few, we'll go see those on Saturday.
Rad.
Works, you know?
I love it.
Right, cool, this is cool, let's go check it out.
That's, yeah,
rad.
So then what's the I don't know if you have an average, but like when someone comes to the door that is like a hot lead, not like good looking, like a hot chick. Yeah, like a hot, you know, a solid lead. Once you start talking to them and you find out they're serious, like how long does it take to actually close that deal?
Well, now it's different than it was, because hot leads now, like if you have someone that like wants to sell their house, I'll probably be at their house in the next 2 or 3 days. But back then I wasn't as confident and comfortable to be like, hey, no, we got to do this now. And there's things that we have to do to get ready for this. So let's schedule and like, let's put this together. Like about 2 hours ago, I wrote an offer contingent. We held this house open that we have. It's a listing for $2 million, and we held it open on Sunday. They came by Saturday. I wasn't there because my team was. They came by Sunday and I was at another showing. And they're like, just have Ben come over because we want him to sell our house to buy this house. So I literally drove over to their house, rolled in, and I was like, hey, let's figure this out. I wrote their offer today, and today is, let's say, Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was at their house Sunday afternoon and I wrote the offer today, and I'm going to list their house if we get it accepted. So, you know, within the first week, it's like that quick. Like you got to make the sense of urgency you really have to create. And in this market, especially, you kind of have to tell people that it's that urgent, you know?
Yeah.
And you have a team around you now, right? So this is the Ben Fisher team. So you've evolved to not only just being a successful agent, but opening your own office and then hiring people. So when did you start making those moves where you're like, I actually need help right now? Like how many deals were you doing? And when did you realize that you needed other people to assist you or teach and mentor?
Well, you know what? It's kind of funny because I've always tried to add people, but I didn't know how to add or how to hire. I was just doing it thinking it was kind of the next step, because in my mind, I was envisioning this like grand team. I've always thought I'd have like this team of agents and we would just be killing it and kind of running the city. And that had always been my goal, kind of like, and I've always put that out there, but I was trying to get the cart before the horse. I wasn't ready and I wasn't mature enough to have people behind me. Mm-hmm. And now I'm at a place where I literally have too much going on for me to take on by myself, and I can't facilitate all the leads and business and things and aspects of the business on my own anymore. So it really took, we went on that trip with Dan O'Neill, and it actually took that trip for Dan to tell me he has two assistants. And I was like, you have two assistants? I'm like, what the fuck do you mean you have two assistants? Like, what does the second one do? You know?
Right.
And so, and I literally, when I got back, I hired an assistant, and it's been just since then I brought her on, I've listed, I think, 5 or 6 properties, and that was what, maybe 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6. And normally it's like a couple at a time, but like last week we listed 3 and I have to list 5 in 2 weeks. So it really gave me that freedom and that leverage. Once I realized I had the power behind me and that, you know, the people to kind of help facilitate, it opened up those doors, but it was because of Dan O'Neill. So I have to give Dan credit for that.
So how are you hiring? What are you looking for in your agents and the people you hire?
Do they have to be tan?
You have to have a really good tan. That's kind of like the first thing.
Yeah, I thought so.
Eric's not getting a job.
I was tanning 2 hours ago.
I can't tell.
I know, light shining in my face.
Definitely not me. See, I'm Italian. I should have like a nice olive tone, but we don't, you know, it's fucking snowing 8 months of the year.
It's climate. Yeah. You know, it's a climate thing for Matt. Matt would probably be darker than me if he was in
yeah, if I had the right tools. Yeah.
Matt,
right.
Down here.
Exactly.
But yeah, so usually when I'm not really even looking for team, like people to bring on. I think we're pretty content right now. But if people show up and they just kind of fit the mold and everyone gets along with them, I'm not going to say no.
How many people are on your team now?
There's 5 of us, plus my broker of record is my commercial partner. So there's technically 6, but 5 of us that do the residential real estate. And so they're all doing well. I mean, one of them closed one yesterday, one today. One of them just closed one for $6.3 million 2 days ago.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
What's your overall average sale price now?
So now it's about $1 million, maybe $1.1 million.
Okay.
It's like pretty average. And that's just standard for the city. That's kind of par for this, for Long Beach right now. So, you know, of course there's those anomalies like the 6.25. And then there's also, you know, there's a few big boys that we have and some coming up, but for the most part, about $1 million to maybe 1.2.
Nice.
So yeah, it's a pretty good price point.
Now, most people I know who start teams, it's awesome. They love it, but they always say, they've always said this, that they've taken a pay cut. If they had just been solo with an assistant, they'd be making more. Is there truth to that statement?
There probably is, because of how people usually run the team at, you know, set up and their dynamic. But I've made it very clear from day one that I'm not their team like mentor. That's not why I'm here. I'm actually using them more of like help for me. So they're almost like, I don't want to say they're not genius assistants, but they're their own agents, but I give them the overflow of things that I can't take on. And they also help because they're leverage for extra hands when we have 4 open houses in a day.
Yeah.
And those leads that they generate, they pay me on when they close. So it's just kind of collecting the, you know, like the things that I can't get to. And I also keep it very tight, and I don't ask a lot financially of them. It's just more so to be more leveraged out and keep me sane more than anything. So,
okay. So you don't have like a 50-50 split?
I mean, sometimes I do, depending on how the leads come in. Like if it's my personal lead, like if I generated it at an open house and I'm like, I don't want these guys, I don't have time for these buyers, do you want them? That's a 50-50 split.
But right.
Essentially the team is on a referral fee basis, which is not really a common thing that people do. And the reason being is I'd rather have them happy than have them, you know, asking me for money all the time. And like, hey, why don't, you know, we don't get enough of this or that. Like, well, you don't get a lot of those things because I don't take a lot off of you. And so it's more of a partnership than it is really like a, 50-50, like everything you do, I get half of. It's a bit more generous than that.
Have you had any turnover yet on your team? I know a big problem that agents have is when they hire people, either as buyer's agents or assistants, you know, when they start getting their own license or they realize like, oh, I don't want to give 60% to Ben Fisher. I don't want to give 60% to this person.
Right.
Are people leaving ever, or do they like you?
Now they like me. So it's cool.
Oh, like, how can you not?
I'll get out of here. But now they like me, but they used to, before I really understood what I was doing, it was a bit more difficult to work with me because I wasn't structured and I wasn't really easy to deal with. So I've kind of matured a little bit in this role of being in charge of these situations and these dynamics. But the team, I think because of the marketing we do and the fun we have and the lack of structure that I actually require of them, I think it's really a draw for most agents, because the reason you do this is not to have a boss. And I remember what it's like when I had the real estate bosses and I fucking hated it.
Yeah.
And so now it's an opportunity for me to give these people opportunities to like, hey, here's some at-bat things to do. Here's a video idea that is like super stupid and funny and just something like we could all just laugh about. You know, like I just want to make sure that they enjoy the time they're spending on this team. And then in the end, like where else would you go where you can be as happy as you are with us? So it's more about the retention than it is about the money for me.
You're a good guy, man.
Hey.
You're a good man.
That's, more team leaders should be skateboarders.
Yeah, seriously.
It seems like you got a good
chill attitude.
Yeah, chill attitude. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can be a dick. I mean, I'm not saying but I am pretty reasonable and fair with the team. So, I mean, I think, you know, and the thing is that I give them all a budget every month that they have to spend. And if they don't spend that budget and document it on the wall, they have to pay me that budget. So I don't, and the thing is I don't care what they spend it on. So I make sure that they spend money on other people. That's it. So
you give them an allowance for like closing gifts and stuff.
Not even closing gifts. Just like take some people to lunch, go buy random people gift cards for something. I don't care. Just go meet people and spend my money doing it. And like, and on past clients, like go get people, like go buy someone a bottle of wine. I don't care. Like, just tell me what you're spending it on. Most of them spend it on like areas they want to hit over and over. They'll spend on flyers or book pages for like these hardcover books we do and things like that. But I literally tell them, as long as you spend it on other people to generate business, I don't care where you spend it. I want you to be creative.
They ever just spend it on like drugs or, you know, booze, you know, cocaine or something like that ever?
Yeah, all the time.
That's okay. Got it.
For other people though.
That's right.
That's nice. Okay, that's fantastic.
Fine. It is nice.
Yeah. Good for them.
So your marketing, you said you like to do fun stuff with your team. Your marketing on Instagram is really cool. You have leaving Long Beach or listing Long Beach. And you also have the where's where videos, which are really popular.
A lot of people like the, I see them.
Not as popular as my videos, but they're popular.
Yeah. I see a lot of people talking about where's where though on those real, on the Facebook groups and stuff. Your name comes up quite a bit.
Does it really?
Yeah.
No.
Where's where it does. Yeah.
Thanks.
I've never seen it, but can you describe to us the where's where series? Because I think it's great inspiration for other agents. It's a really cool IGTV series.
Yeah. So it kind of came about because there's so many different pockets of Long Beach. Long Beach is like a microcosm of LA in one city. So there's all sorts of different areas and it can change from quarter mile to quarter mile. So if you're moving here, you don't know those things. And a lot of people, like when we have clients that come to Long Beach, like Matt asked before about like, are people coming from out of area? Like some people come even from LA and they have no idea where Belmont Park is and it's not Belmont Heights. And Belmont Heights isn't Alamitos Heights. And you know, so there's like all these different areas you need to know where's where. And so it just started out like that. And I was like, well, this is just an easy way to send people to our site because we have a map now. And the map, if you click on the links, like, that the pins on the map of Long Beach, you'll see where's where and you can watch the video. So that's really cool and interactive where if you're like, hey, what are we looking at? Like we want to buy something kind of like this, like, oh, go to the site and check out these three videos. Those are kind of the areas you're looking at.
And the videos are of you walking and showing like the shops and coffee.
Yeah. So there's a few highlights that we do in there. So there's, you know, the pros of the neighborhood, some of the cons of the neighborhood, because we're not just trying to sell you on like, oh, this is so great because of this, like, this is what sucks. Because we want you to know you can trust us because we're not here to sell you shit. If you don't want to buy it, we're not going to push it on you. But we want to make sure you understand that it isn't a flight path or that there is, you know, traffic coming
off.
Is it
a flight path? Like an airplane is just going to smash through the windows or something?
Yeah, that.
Okay.
Yeah, it is in the center of LAX. No.
Yeah. It is 400 feet up in the air and like hit by a 747.
We're at LAX. You feel know if you live here? You don't. But yeah, so then we do things you'd only know if you lived here as well, which is like kind of like the things that the neighbors would tell you that once you moved in, but most people wouldn't know it. So that's cool too. So like some of the like specifics about like, this is where you would go to get breakfast. This is what you would do for like this or this or this, or like the trees on this, on some of these blocks suck because they drop these flowers and they'll ruin your car. Like that kind of stuff is good to share because you're going to know that eventually, but it'd be cool to like front load somebody and be like, hey, just be mindful of those jacaranda trees. Like don't park on the street in season and you're going to have to park on your driveway, but this house doesn't have a driveway. So it's kind of something to be mindful of. So just that kind of stuff where we really kind of inform everybody as to the pros, the cons, things you'd only know if you lived there. And then the bottom line is kind of like, this is, if you're looking for this, this is that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Do you ever come across those trees that smell like semen?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? What are those trees?
Those are like, you semen know what? Trees. Those are actually, they have these long like beanstick things and they're actually like, people use them for like music.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
we like, on the golf team, I remember there was a tree to aim it on the fifth hole as a dog leg left, and we'd call it the, you know, the jizz tree. Someone just walked
yeah,
in.
Yeah, just walked in. Bad is that a walk in there?
Yeah.
Now, the thing is with the where's where, I would imagine the cons are actually more beneficial than the pros for you because I feel like no one wants to talk about the cons. So right. I think you put yourself in your own little bubble and then people who are out of town feel like they can trust you more.
Right.
Is that true?
Right. And that's kind of the truth of it is like, we don't want people to just be like, oh yeah, this is why it's so cool. Look at this great neighborhood. It's like, yeah, that's true. But these are also true too. Like, you know, it's not going to be at night. You're not going to walk by yourself. Like you don't want to know that.
Holy
like,
shit.
Like that's
maybe
like,
you don't
that,
go,
that, that's a con yeah, where I would, I wouldn't
like,
move.
This neighborhood's great, but if it's past 6 o'clock, you will be shot.
Yeah. Like it's a little dicey after hours, you know, like that's something I would want to know.
A little dicey.
Obviously it sounds sick to buy this house because it has all these cool features, but like also you have to remember that these houses are 120 years old and they come with a lot of maintenance and then the neighborhood isn't the safest. I'd want to know that.
Yeah,
you
know? Totally.
So, like,
now,
so that's cool.
Hear me out here. Halloween edition. Where's where? You do your episode. Where's Waldo? Just do it as Waldo.
Just that's actually a really good idea. I like that.
Halloween edition.
That might work. We did. We did.
It's pretty funny, actually. Just hiding in certain areas of Long Beach.
It's not even. I don't even say anything. I'm just hiding the whole episode. You just have to find me in the shot.
Here I am at Huntington Square. Or is that a place in Long
Check
Beach?
Check out these cement trees.
Yeah, exactly. Here, all the trees smell like cum. I don't know what's going on here. You just pop your head out of it.
Eric is just Waldo hiding in every scene, but he's just like, he's always behind the cum tree.
I think that would be fun, little Halloween edition.
Yeah.
We did do one for April Fools. We did a fake neighborhood, and it threw everyone for a
loop. Oh, cool.
They couldn't find it.
Yeah, they're like, where do I find these houses? They're such good deals.
It's incredible.
We threw out like a super low. Oh, yeah. And also the size and the price point, which is huge too. So, but we did this video where it was like, oh, yeah, you live on the water for 600 grand, like in a house. And the only things you need to know are like these things. And then like there's World War II bunker tunnels and all this crazy shit. And people were like, where the fuck is Bayview? Or like, right. It's April 1st, guys. So,
yeah. You could definitely capitalize on all holidays. Like do a fucking Easter hunt, do a bunch of shit.
Yeah, we could. I mean, if you want to do one, Matt, feel free. Take that thing to Canada, dude.
Take it to Canada.
It really works.
I'm in.
So I'm in. Yeah, it's been really successful because a lot of people, we've gained a lot of business from people that watch them, and they're like, oh, you clearly know what's going on. Can you help us buy our first house?
Yeah.
They're like, we live in another city, but we're thinking of moving here. Someone told us to watch these videos. What about this neighborhood? And that just starts that dialogue of like, this is now our buyer.
It's cool because it's an action shot of you walking too. And you know all the areas so well that you're just like free flowing, no script. And you're just like, hey, this is what happens at this coffee shop. This is what's going on in this neighborhood. And like the visuals change.
Exactly that. Yep. Because I've seen people attempt this and they're looking, they're like, and then we're going to go to the coffee store, you know, and it's like, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Someone wrote this for you.
But the like music is good too. It's in constant motion. Really helps with these videos.
And the beginning. I love the beginning always with the walk.
Shows the map.
Yeah. So that's funny. So the guys that actually live in that, it's funny. I was in that little neighborhood. Those are the Cliff May Ranchos. So we do a lot of business in there. Those are the mid-century neighborhood. Like that's a mid-century track in Long Beach. But the guys that live in that house, they say their friends always ask, like, are you selling your house? We keep seeing you in this guy's videos, like with those cars.
Yeah.
And so I was walking through the neighborhood and they're like, hey, you're the guy in those videos. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? You know? And they're like, we're the house that you walk in front of every time. And I was like, no shit. And they're like, yeah, our friends keep asking if we're selling because the real estate guy keeps walking by.
They're like, stop doxing our address.
Yeah.
It's pretty funny, but they're super cool. They're like, nah, don't worry about it. It's all good. We love the series. So it really has caught on. So that we do that one, which is really useful for buyers. And then we just did another one for sellers called Listing Long Beach. So Listing Long Beach is more of like a house centric video of the same concept, which is pretty rad. So just kind of highlights the house, the neighborhood, you know, what you can expect, and then the detail shots about the house. So we just started doing that. And
it's like a normal listing video.
It's like a normal listing video, but it tells you about the neighborhood. But I guess it is pretty much I'm trying to make it sound cooler than it is, but
it is cooler than a normal listing video.
But I was gonna say, like to Matt's point where like you see people try it, it's like we see so many cringe listing videos where people are like, welcome to this address. Mm-hmm. We are here today to talk about, and you're just like, dude, click next. Like, I don't get
it. So bad. Dude, it's so bad though. They're like, welcome to my beautiful home, and they see the fucking half the roof's falling off. It's like, dude, just call a spade a spade. It's a piece of shit.
And half the time the shots are boring and slow and there's no transitions and you're just like, who gives a shit? Like, I don't care. I don't want to watch it because it's not entertaining. So you got to make it sort of lively and fun. So we did the same thing for the houses, which is cool for the sellers because then you could share it with other people that want to list and you're like, hey, we're going to make a video, obviously make the video for your house, but then we're also going to make you a listing Long Beach and everyone sees that as part of our series.
And that's awesome because then you have like the 1-2 punch with the where's where, and you can find buyers. You can use that as a tool in your listing appointment saying, look, we have this series that a pool of buyers come because of this series. And that I'm sure helps in your
So if you go to like, if people go see, like if you go to benfisherteam.com, it's pretty simple. There's like the drop down is just like where's where, listing Long Beach, who's who, which is those community videos that we talked about. And then a couple other things like meet the team, recently sold and all that. So it's very simple. We kind of simplify the whole process and make everything as easy for people as possible because everyone's so inundated with shit these days. I just try to keep things like less is more and make it very user friendly. So
who's who was businesses of Long Beach?
Yeah. So that's local businesses where we do edits for them. Like, and what we do is we split the cost with the business to make them their own video. And then we promote that for a month. We run ads for them. Mm-hmm. And then just get them their own content that people, now that we have a following, it's a bit more helpful for those businesses because they can say they're collaborating with us, and then they get a little bit of traction from us as well. And then from a listing or from a validity standpoint at an open house, they're like, oh yeah, with so-and-so, we know the guys that run this, like, oh, we did a video with them, like, go to our website. And then they're like, oh shit, you know them too. And then it just kind of goes into that momentum where you just have that validity of like, you're the guy, you know? So yeah. All those pieces just tie together to make sense, so you can really have that validation wherever you are. Like, whatever we're doing, there's one degree of separation.
And you are that guy in Long Beach. I've been to Long Beach with you. You know all the waiters and waitresses and coffee shop people. Well, and
yeah, the funny thing is,
grocery store clerks.
Matt, I'm sure. Yeah, the grocery store clerks. I'm sure Eric didn't tell you this, Matt, but the one time he came down to golf with me, He runs into a guy before I did at the grocery store, and it was his fraternity brother from USC.
And yeah. Eric did?
Yeah. Eric ran into a guy. I'm like, what the fuck are you? Who do you know here?
Yeah.
Not, nowhere near you. By the way, I'm actually getting coffee with you next week, Eric.
You are? That'll be a nightmare.
Did Eric get you that lead? Eric, are you getting a referral fee?
I actually
for
like
that?
Him a lot.
You getting a referral fee?
I mean, that's a touch on my part, right? That's.
I think you pretty much, yeah, it's pretty much a 50-50 split on that one, right?
Damn, I think so, Eric, yeah. There's something there. There's something there for you. Just go pretend you know people.
Yes,
that's,
Eric.
That's exactly.
You know what would be, hey, that would be a really funny video if Eric came to Long Beach and acted like he knew everyone and everyone's just confused. Like,
come on, you remember me. I went to high school with you.
I'm broke agent.
And yeah.
Like, exactly. No idea who you're talking about.
So without these videos, without Where's Where, listing Long Beach, all that, you wouldn't be kind of anywhere. And do you give a lot of your you give a lot of your team's credit and your like success to those videos? Do you attribute a lot to those?
A huge piece of that is the validation that comes from doing those things that are collaborative with like communities and locals. And you know, a lot of the relationships that we build kind of just, you know, they compound on each other. And being from Long Beach, I was born and raised here. So that's a huge piece too. So now people see like, it's not just like this thing where I do these shows to try to like get people to tune in and like watch me. It really is for listings. So like, we really do a lot of business. We're one of the top teams in Long Beach, which is actually a pretty big deal for us. And so it all adds to it. It's not like the only thing we do, because we do a lot of business here, but it's definitely helpful and cool to be finding different avenues to explore, to find new, you know, streams of business.
Top team in Long Beach. Well, you know what they say, Matt, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man rules.
That is true. In the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man rules.
Thanks, Eric.
Gotta throw that expression in there every single episode.
Yeah, those shirts are coming soon, folks.
Yeah, exactly. It's the one-eyed man.
Ben, do you have some merch? I hope Eric gave you some merch for
Ben. Modeling. Ben actually has some. Show those candles. Like, Ben's got great gifts that he gives his clients. He's got candles. Yeah. I have one right here. Look at this.
I was talking about our merch, but
oh
fuck, that's sick.
Yeah, Ben Fisher candles.
There's a whole
smells like cum, actually.
Jesus.
Believe it or not.
Stop saying that.
Never burned it.
I'd get that tattooed on me. That's a sick logo.
Thank you. Yeah, it's blasted all over this place. It's everywhere.
I don't see it anywhere, but yeah, cool.
Yeah, here, look.
Well, the floor is above. Yeah, there it is.
That's just sick. So who, look, he's waving to, this is incredible. Guys, yeah. Live look at him lead generate. He's waving to the fucking neighbors outside.
Walk by every day and they wave to me. So we're in a good spot.
That's very nice. That's very nice. Do you still skateboard, Ben?
Not really. I mean, I skated like a month ago. I go like once a month, maybe. I don't really skate anymore. It's not, there's no time for it. And then like, once you're not as good as you used to be, it's kind of hard to find the passion anymore.
Yep.
I don't know.
It's like, I'm assuming you were a street skater, not a vert skater.
Correct.
Yes. Long Beach. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Now, San Diego is like the vert dudes, I feel like. But
vert would be half pipes
yeah.
Correct.
Jumps and streets. Yeah. Okay.
jumps in the streets, Eric.
So was your like was Rundy Mullen like your god?
Rodney Mullen was cool, but he wasn't the guy. I mean, okay. there was some guys, but it's a little bit more specific. It's kind of like we were talking about, you like hockey, like,
yeah,
there's specific players that have specific technical things they do that are like, that's why you like that dude. It's the same thing with skating. So
right.
If I mentioned who they were, you guys probably would never have heard of them. But
if they were in Tony Hawk.
Were they in Tony Hawk? Yeah, I was just going to ask that.
I think a couple of them were. Yeah, a few of them. Like Eric Austin's kind of up there.
Oh. Yeah, Eric.
Bucky Lasik. Yeah.
He's Vert, Eric, for Christ's sakes. He's Vert.
Can't take you anywhere.
Jesus.
But you can't take me to a skate park, I guess. That's the only place.
Definitely not.
I should take you to the skate park and you could act like you know everybody.
Well, and see your fraternity brothers there.
No, I would not fit in a skate park. I'm not trying to hurt myself, you know.
No. I really think you, there'd be some, because who was it? Who was it, Eric, that did all those events that we had on? Jason Which Cassidy. One?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I mean, I guess you're a little jaded from, and I felt that way for a long time with music as well, because I was like a professional musician. I didn't make money, but
that's
I was,
right.
You
were,
know,
right? Matt, yeah. You used to play music like literally for a living.
Yes. Yes. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
It's a whole different game, but then it's the same deal where you're like, you don't make enough to really get by.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know, maybe you did, but like for me in skateboarding, I definitely like was bare bones, like barely enough.
No, the most I ever made for a show was like $1,200.
See, that's kind of like where it was with skating. That's like what you, and I was on salary, which is really hard to do for a lot of skaters, but I was making something, I think it was almost the same exact thing every month from Puma. And from, then I
you're sponsored by Puma? That's pretty sweet. Sick.
Yeah, I used to skate for Puma. So they would give us this crazy budget we'd have to spend every year. It disappeared. So I still have shoes in my garage. Like, it's crazy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They were super cool.
I feel like that would be such a good, because Jason Cassidy like sponsors baseball games.
San Diego Padre games. Yeah.
Yeah. And stuff like that. I feel like if there's any, I don't know how many like skate events are out that way, but it could be kind of a cool look, like exactly that, you wouldn't really associate real estate with skateboarding. And I think maybe a different audience. I don't know.
There's I mean, it is cool, but at the same time, there's not a lot of money in that world.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
It sounds like kind of harsh to say that, but strategically, there's not a lot of avenues to explore that can really be as lucrative as some of the other things that we kind of delve into.
Yeah. You're not trying to attract people that want, you know.
Yeah. When you really think of it, there's like one Tony Hawk pro skate.
I mean, that's kind of like if you held an event at Guitar Center, you're like, okay, like, you know, am I really going to get any deals? Like, partnering up with someone at the guitar store. I mean, maybe, and that's probably a terrible reference, but you kind of know what I'm saying. Like, it's not the most, like,
I get what you, yeah.
In the same place where skaters are, where you're just like, I don't know, maybe, but like the likeliness of it isn't very prominent.
You should sponsor like a dinner at Long John Silver's or something like that.
You should do that for a broke agent.
The broke agent should start sponsoring fucking random shit. That'd be hilarious.
Random shit, dude.
A Long John Silver's happy hour.
That would be so sick if you did that. If you just started sponsoring Long John Silver's events.
I love the name Long John Silver's.
We're just at a pop up today for broke agent, and you're at Popeye's Chicken.
Right. That's actually good though.
Yeah,
that's good.
But Eric, just you're at Target. Just you have a pop up outside of a Target
in the Mosimo aisle. That's where I used to get all my clothes, actually.
In the Mosimo.
Targets, they're gone here. They came for a bit and they left. They left.
They're gone.
Couldn't compete with Walmart.
Mm. Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's crazy.
Yeah, I love Target, but it wasn't as good as what you guys have. It was like a watered down version of your Target, you know?
Yeah, we have like, there's like a small one-off Target that they do for like the college kids here. And
yeah,
it's like
City Targets.
Yeah.
City Targets.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like weird. It's like a half-size Target, right?
Eric, why don't you do a Where's Where on it?
Hey, yeah. Welcome to City Target. This is like a half-size Target.
The cons, they only have half of the Cetaphil products. I'm
yeah, exactly. There's not enough face wash in there for me.
Not enough face wash and Listerine strips for me.
Exactly.
But yeah, so anyway, so there's a number of avenues we explore as far as that stuff goes. But yeah, it's been good. Life's good.
That's unreal, man. I mean, it's very inspiring. You were a skateboarder who,
cool story.
What, Yeah, it is a really cool story. I can relate, like I said, because it is similar to kind of my background. I don't have a team or a brokerage or that kind of thing, but hey, I make videos. So
no, but Matt, I was going to ask you, so what's up with no team for you? You don't want to start your own thing? Because I feel like you're almost like right there because you're doing so well now with everything at the agency and stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to do a team. I don't think ever. It was never really something I wanted to do. I just like kind of handling my own things. I think it's because I have a lot of different avenues as well. Like I love doing real estate now, especially with my marketing and stuff, but you know, I have the podcast and like growing that and the rest of the brand. Like I just want to be able to do a lot.
That's cool.
Yeah. I like being very busy with a lot of different things.
Yeah. Your videos have really taken off. So
thanks,
man. Do you have songs like in your, like, do you have like a list of songs to write that you already know you want to use?
Oh yeah. I have a couple already written. I have a couple already recorded.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Sick. Yeah. Did you ever do anything with that one I was telling you about, some buyer that I used to know?
So no, I haven't yet, but good. That's a good one. I know.
I think that's a good one, dude.
That's a really good one. I used to
know. It's, I can also do that video of the five people playing the guitar.
Yeah. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, it's like I even thought of the lines too. It's actually really easy to do that one because it's pretty much dialed in for that. Like,
yeah,
you know. Anyway,
and that song has longevity to it. Like everybody still likes that song.
Yeah, it hasn't died. That song, like if you hear it on the radio, you're not like, this shit again.
You keep
that's
it playing.
That's important too. That's important too. I think my next one's gonna be a Panic at the Disco song.
Nice.
Yeah, nice. Eric, do you know them?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, just never know with you.
Yeah. Eric's more of a Kenny Loggins guy.
I don't know who Kenny Loggins is. Did he play for the Indians?
I never know if he's joking or not.
I don't know who Kenny Loggins is. I know Panic at the Disco.
He said he didn't know who Steve McQueen was.
Do you don't know who Steve McQueen is?
I mean, now I do.
What, do you live in a basement in LA? Is that
I do. Look at this. Looks like. You look like you're still hanging from your feet. So
is that a ground floor window to your right, Eric? Are you in a basement underneath someone's house?
Hey, look, you know, I live in a very nice area.
I've heard Brentwood is one of the nicest in all of LA. That's what I've heard.
It is. Eric pays $9,000 a month for a one bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. For a 5 square foot place. You should do a who's who on this place.
I've actually seen you walk around your house, not to sound creepy, just from when you're walking around, and it looks fantastic. Gotta say, yeah, I like the layout.
One of the worst places.
And you got some crown molding up there. It looks pretty nice.
This place, the roof's about to collapse on my head.
All right. Well, with that, Ben, we thank you so much for coming on. I was trying to think of like a rapid fire. We got asked a rapid fire round yesterday on a podcast.
That was cool.
That was cool. Okay, Ben, let's do it anyways. Okay. I'm going to think of it. Pizza or hot dogs?
Pizza.
Okay. Skittles or M&Ms?
M&Ms.
Okay.
Trees or bushes?
Trees.
Justin Bieber or Shawn Mendes?
Bieber.
No, nice. Kendall Jenner or Kim Kardashian?
Ooh. Kim?
Okay. Fight Club or Catch Me If You Can?
Catch Me If You Can.
Yes, I'm right there too. Eric, do you got any?
Yeah. Cactuses or trees?
Trees.
Nice.
Eric's just on all land.
I mean, dude, you choose trees for everything. All right, trees or tissue boxes?
Trees.
Trees or water?
Water.
Okay.
There we go.
Water or fire?
Water.
Okay.
Eric's going all trees. What's this? Trees?
I can't think of any other words.
Eric has to describe a house. He only talks about the kitchen.
The kitchen,
only room he knows.
He's like, yeah, so this kitchen has all these things. You're like, how many bedrooms is it? You're like, if you look closely,
there's like four mini kitchens. Four little baby kitchens that could be.
No, actually, the cabinets are soft close.
Exactly.
Awesome. We never know how to end these things, but.
We do.
Okay. Well, first, I want to thank you so much for coming on. I think people are going to get great value out of this episode. And Eric, there you go. End with your final question there.
Trees. Now, where can the people find Ben Fisher? Where can they find you on Instagram, Facebook, your website? Where can they buy your candles?
Yeah, no candles for sale unless you're a past client or Eric, which never burned his candle. But you could find us at benfisherteam.com, just at benfisherteam.com and Ben Fisher, at Ben Fisher Team and benfisherteam.com. Sorry.
You didn't sound too sure about that.
No. Well, guys, type that in and hope for the best.
Let's start that over. It's just so if you're trying to find any of our content, you can check us out on Instagram at Ben Fisher Team. And then our website is simple. It's just benfisherteam.com. And you could go through and see all the things that we discussed today. So
amazing. Well, Ben Fisher and team behind, thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Eric.